This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500. Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of the Blues NHL podcast, brought to you by the Innovated Companies, the innovated construction arm under the umbrella. Our good friends Randy and Stephanie Green, they do tremendous work over there. You want to give Innovated Construction an opportunity for your business? They can help you with your new construction, project planning, and consulting. They do both residential and commercial. They are involved in industrial as well. Land development and design build projects, new home construction, remodeling, excavating, water services, storm, sanitary, and sewers. Man, don't look at me like that.
Good start.
I was rolling. Strong. I was on a roll there, but they are fully licensed, bonded, and insured. 35 plus years of experience. As we know, Randy's a second generation craftsman. Give him an opportunity for your business. Check him out at innovatedcompanies.com. Welcome to the studio on a crisp Thursday morning, gentlemen.
G'day, g'day. It's nice and bright in here today.
Yeah, it is bright in here today. It's like an Inquisition.
I got a lot of questions today, gentlemen.
So, oh, boy.
So I don't know if it's a Debbie. I'm not in Jamie Piss Lane. I'm not going there.
Kimball's cranky?
No, it's not Kimball's cranky.
Kimball's curious.
Yeah, that or concerned.
Although, be careful with the wording of that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah, I got some questions.
Did you submit them on our Twitter poll?
No, I like that's for the fans. You know, that's their avenue to go down, and we got to respond to that and what we think. But I like to let them do that. I just got my own questions a little bit.
Well, I'm sure Jamie's got some answers.
We'll
for
get
you.
To that. Well,
geez, I don't know.
I always
get a little scared of Kimby's questions, you know?
I don't know, man. You've always got an answer.
He's got these deep thoughts in there. Yeah, I got to be very careful.
It's one of the, we're going through union meetings and working all this shit. A lot of shit going on right now.
Well, we can't help you with those.
No,
I don't know.
We're not a political show here, okay?
There is a couch in the other room.
Yeah, my goodness.
Jamie,
there better be a big couch.
With a big headrest.
With a big pillow.
With a huge pillow.
You've done a lot of things in your life there, Rivers. You've got some tremendous stories. Have you ever handled the psychology department of the team?
You know what?
The psychiatric
award? There's a couple times, and it's not like handling the psychology part of it, but I've been through a lot as a player, and there's guys that when they go through some adversity, they don't necessarily know how to handle it. And so,
what do you think he does when he wakes up in the morning and walks into the bathroom? He looks in the mirror.
talks to himself.
What the hell do you think he's doing there?
He talks to himself. The problem
every day when I get up, I cannot wait for the next day to come. You know why, Kimby? I get better looking every freaking day.
Oh, no. Who sings that song?
I'm not sure, but I'm living by it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, this sounds like it's shaping up to be a doozy. Let's remind you to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you can subscribe to the podcast and receive a notification on your mobile device. It'll be downloaded and ready for you to listen at your convenience. You can also catch up on back episodes. The easiest thing to do there, though, is just subscribe. Our ask of you right now, it's Christmas season. I know everybody's doing a lot of Christmas shopping. Check us out at Amazon. That guy's got how many billions of dollars he's making?
Over 100 billion now is what I hear. So, well, I don't know how he's making ends meet.
Well, he's building shit around. He's
doing
jobs. That's
good.
Yeah,
that is good.
He is doing that. He is developing more and more avenues for people to work in. So,
well, that is good. And
now, the only downside of it, though, if I'm going to do that, is he's taken away from some of the consumers, right? Yeah, or not the consumers, some of the providers, like the big box stores, because he's delivering stuff for grocery stores even overnight.
Yeah,
you get your groceries. Pretty soon that's going to have an effect on those people. So I worry. I'm happy, but I worry all in the same time that eventually we're going to get to a world where you don't even have to talk to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
And that to me is, you know, that's something that I think is important.
You can save that for the surreal talk.
No, you know what? Screw that. It doesn't just have to be hockey around here. I mean, we got Darren Kimball in the studio. He's got thoughts, you know?
Well, be that as it may, there's a whole lot of people listening to this show that will at least do some of their shopping at Amazon over the Christmas holiday here. And if you're going to do that, our ask of you is go to bluesnhlpodcast.com. Click the little Amazon banner down to the right. It'll take you to Amazon. You're done with us.
Click the hell out of that so we can get some Christmas shopping done, too.
We get a very small referral. Helps us with our production costs around here. It costs you nothing extra, and we would greatly appreciate it. Our social media forums there, we'd love it if you guys would find us there. You can find us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. We also control at NHL Show. We're happy to have you guys get involved in both of those. Our big ask of you is find us on Facebook. Type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. Down on your right, you'll see invite your friends. Click invite your friends, and then just start inviting all your friends that are blues friends, fringe blues friends. If they listen to this thing and listen to Darren and Jamie, they'll come on over, I promise you. Find us on Instagram as well by simply typing in Blues NHL Podcast. And, of course, special thanks to everybody at lineupmedia.fm. As talking about social media, one last time, couldn't grow the show without all the tremendous Facebook pages out there. I see you guys in all these forums, and let's face it, you're all passionate Blues fans. We appreciate it. Special thanks go out to the guys at Art City Sports, Jamie's friend McLeod over there, of course. St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, of course, happy to have everything they do with Dennis Minner, and you know he comes to you live from an arena. St. Louis Blues Fan Unite, and of course, everything STL Sports. All right, gentlemen, it's time to go on the bench with Butter. We get a mighty fine game from Braden Schenn. And you know what I love anytime he has a great game is, once again, we get poor Yuri Laterra. Does this guy just get raked over the coals every time Braden Schenn has a great game?
It's got to be awful. I mean, at the end of the day, look, as St. Louis Blues fans and people and everybody surrounding the team, like, we already knew when the trade happened, we already knew how this was going to shape up. I mean, there's no way in any world that Braden Schenn wasn't going to outplay Yuri Laterra in this deal. And now I know this is where I think you got to consider the other pieces in the trade, that there were some draft picks.
That's the answer. Definitely.
You know, like that's really, I think that's the only way you can look at it. Because comparing them head-to-head just doesn't make any sense. No. I mean, you know, Braden Schenn's a 20-goal scorer. Yuri Laterra had one season with a guy named Tarasenko where he had, you know, some luck or some good fortune. And, you know, Laterra's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. His teammates liked him. He's just, I don't think he's able to perform at the NHL level, and that's just, it is what it is, right?
It's you know what, in 5 years' time, you're gonna understand how bad Hexie was or how good Army did on this one, because when the draft picks come into play, because right now it's all Blues have just kicked the shit out of him on this one, but there's something coming down the line, and we'll see what that player, you never know, it could be a superstar, but right now it doesn't look good, I'll tell you that.
No, I mean, and this guy just keeps producing.
Yeah.
I mean, they even, you know, we touched on it before we got on the air. Mike Yeo tweaked the lines just a little bit, kind of shuffled around, took Tarasenko away from those guys, and I know what he's trying to do by trying to spread out some of that scoring, but, you know, Schenn still goes out there and puts three in the net, so...
And, you know, you watch the game, though, too, and the story was really Mr. Price in net, because he stopped some huge moments where the breakaways are coming at him left and right.
Well, he's been incredible, too.
Coming out of what he did, and they're on a roll, Montreal is, and then all of a sudden, probably two of the three goals. The third one he definitely should have, just a bad bounce. The shot that goes up above him, he probably should maybe have that one, too. So he played well. He's saving the damn organization right now. They're getting ready to... The GM was probably going to lose his ass here right away, and you know, they get on a roll and they're playing well. But it was just one of those games. The Price played good. Also, he let in a couple of goals. Maybe he should have had, and that was the game. That's all it takes nowadays.
Well, you know, even the goals that, you know, he maybe should have had. The one goes off the defenseman's skate. That's tough to grab that one. And then the other one's Braden Schenn. I mean, could his release be any quicker now and accurate? Like, I don't care who you put in the net at that point. That's goals going in any universe. So
the biggest goal of the whole thing isn't Mr. Weber, isn't he the one that didn't shoot
God.
The curveball? But you know what's funny about this, and I'll tell a quick little thing. Everyone talks about how the puck curved and everything, you know, and never seen this happen before. I'll tell you right now, when I first got into the National Hockey League, I played at Quebec, and Guy Lafleur was there. And every morning practice started, and there would be about 150 pucks lined up across. and the blue line in an arc like a moon, like the moon. And he would sit there and shoot 150. And Guy Lafleur had Bobby Hall wrists on him. But he had a curve on his stick, and obviously it had to be legal because we were back in the day when you had to have a legal curve on your – you know, we were playing that game. But he could get the puck to curve. Flower could. And he would shoot the puck, and it was so funny. We would sit there, and, you know, you're a young kid growing up, and you're watching this guy do this. So then you'd start doing this shit, and, Christ, you couldn't even make it halfway around the moon. And Flower's doing this every morning, you know, and with a cigar in his bloody mouth, and he's popping these – but he would – curve, he would shoot the puck and curve it, and we'd sit there and the guys behind him, Joe Sakic included, Curtis LeCision, we were sitting there and the Flower would turn around and look and he'd just have this big ass smile on his face, but he could get the puck to
curve. He'd shoot it with draw like a golf shot.
He would come down, Millen was our goaltender, Millen would just stand in the goddamn net, he wouldn't even move, but Flower would come down and he could get the puck to drop. I'm not shitting you, the man knew what he was doing.
That's how come he scored so many off the wing, and I don't know if you remember, you know, he'd streak down the wing and he'd fire that thing and it always seemed to beat the goalie far side. Right. And they all knew it was coming, but you know who else could do that? Not curve it so much, but he'd get the old one hop with a skip to it. Is Al MacInnis?
Yeah,
he would take that shot from the far blue line or center ice, and he'd rip it, and he had a way to get it going about 15, 20 feet, and then drop and skip off the ice, and he scored one against Felix Potvin in Toronto. I remember he shot from our own blue line and like tied the game up in the third period. It was incredible. So
it was crazy.
Yeah, maybe it was bend it like LaFleur before it was bend it like Beckham.
Well, you know what though, you didn't have media running around the country with cameras everywhere doing all this stuff. So, but the Flower did used to do that many years ago, folks.
Yeah, well, and Shea Weber, we want to talk about him. He was almost the difference in the game. Well, he kind of was because his shot is so, like, the one was just a bomb too. And unfortunately, I think the Blues are going to have to probably adjust in the future for defensemen or people who shoot like that. They can't lose faceoffs like that clean too. Like the second goal he scored, it was an inside. The centerman pulled it inside rather than outside where it's easier to do it clean. And he ripped that thing. And like Jake Allen has no chance on that. Scotty Upshaw couldn't get out to the point. Like we got to make sure we clean up those faceoffs because he's not the only one in the league that can shoot the puck. And other teams are going to start to kind of notice that.
Yep. You know, I've always had a question with you guys, obviously, being from Canada. You know, Blues fans are, you know, passionate, and we live and die and breathe ball Blues. And when things aren't going well, the sky's falling. When things are going well, we're planning parades. But, man, Montreal, and rightfully so, you know, Canada feels like it's their game, right? You know, when they struggle, what's it like there?
Well, it's awful. I mean, Darren played in Quebec City, and I was in Montreal briefly. And I played in Ottawa, which is, you know, Canadian city. It's not quite the same. The temperature not quite as high there as far as the media coverage. But in Montreal, it's – only thing I can compare it to is, like, the New York Yankees. Like, you're under the microscope every day. Like, from the moment you get up in your house or your apartment, the walk down the street, the walk from your car to the rink, like, it is covered. People are watching you, and if you, you know, are doing something different, they're going to bring it up in the media. If you're not playing well, you're going to bring it up in the media. The coach is going to get questioned every day on his lines, his pairings. The GM is going to be questioned every day. It's literally, it's like being, you know, you're under fire every single day that you're there. And the highs are high because the media jump on board on that, and the lows are really low. So it's very, very difficult for guys to play in that environment. You have to be so mentally tough that you know, nothing bothers you, good or bad. And Kimby, I'll let you speak because you played, like I said, in Quebec City, which is a very passionate fan base as well.
No, that was it's right. And when you're playing in an environment like that, winning, everything is beautiful. You know, you roll down everything.
Free meals, free drinks.
Things are going good. You know, but when the losing comes, and people in Quebec, in the province of Quebec, that's their life. And they start shunning your shit, and they'll go after the, like Patrick Roy. They went after his ass. If you don't buy into the system, you know they, because you're looking at a. And the good thing about Quebec City when I played there was it was funny because when we got there, everything's in French. So we didn't understand what the hell they're saying. So I didn't have to worry about that. You'd have the French guys when we get ready for practice in the morning, the French guys would be sitting there. Mario Marois, because I always say this guy was one of the funniest guys in the world. He would just sit there over there and laugh in the corner and. So then I go, what are you laughing at, Mayo? He says, oh, you see the shit they're talking about you. And I go, what are you talking about me? But it was just, you couldn't understand. But Montreal's like.
It was a blessing that you couldn't understand it.
And there was, and we had a bad team, so, you know, who knows what they were saying. But Montreal, you know, you got a lot of, it's at least half English. I don't know what it would be. What do you think? Is it half and half?
Now with the media that it is now, it's probably half and half. Like back in the day, it was probably 80-20.
But you got to answer questions for everything. And
the guys got to know French now. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, it's not like a mandate where the GM comes in and says, hey, you got to learn how to speak French. But it's kind of like when Bob Gainey was a GM there, he told players, like, you need to go and take French classes, and you need to be a part of this, and you need to, like, be able to. And so now, like, even Max Pacioretty, he'll do an interview every now and then in, like, broken up French, but he'll try, you know. And so as much as it's, like, half and half, it's still a big deal for players to be able to speak French and understand it there so that they're, I don't want to say accepted, but, you know, let's be honest. It's a bilingual area, predominantly French, we'll say. You better learn how to do the lingo.
Yeah, but the thing with Montreal, too, always remember, lately, in the last while here, it's not been where it should be, but they used to win it all the time. They were the team. That was it.
Well, is that the reason, or is it because it's our game? I mean, was it the history that they demand it, or is it because it's our game and we're going to show these? You know,
it's not so much
the
game.
Both, really.
Well, Canada's Canada,
right?
And like it's like your guys' baseball.
Sure,
it is. That's all you got. You know, you got the CFL up there, which, you know, some cities are passionate about their CFL, but there's different seasons, so they don't really combine too much. But hockey's hockey. Everyone plays hockey. And, you know, because you go on, like, if you go on my Twitter page and you're looking at stuff, I got friends back home that are putting rinks out in the back. They're getting the rinks ready for, you know, that's the livelihood.
They're setting them up in their backyard right now.
Yeah, and that's how it goes. And so, but hockey's hockey. Saturday night, Don Cherry's God. Everyone listens to what Don Cherry has to say. But hockey's hockey. And Montreal was the pinnacle of hockey in Canada for the longest. Now, Toronto's coming along. Edmonton was there at one point when Gretzky was there. It's been moving around, but Montreal, when I was a young kid, that's where you went, you know.
Yeah.
And Toronto, as much as Toronto, they had Sittler and Tiger Williams and Boris Salming and all these guys that were sitting there. Montreal had the they're winning Stanley Cups.
Toronto could never match up with championships.
Yeah.
You know, they may have matched up with players, and, you know, certainly their popularity was close, if not bigger in some areas. But you're right. Montreal Canadiens were Canada's team.
Yep.
And, you know, they won championships because way back in the day they had an advantage and could recruit players, and players wanted to go there. So it was like the Yankees, again.
Yep.
Who wants to go win championships? Well, I do, so I'm going to go to the Montreal Canadiens because they're the biggest and the best. And so it just sort of went from there, and they developed this tradition, and they have an extremely passionate fan base. And it does take a lot for those fans to turn on the team.
Yeah.
Whereas other markets can be a little more sketchy.
And if you go really deep into Canada, Cromes, and you want to really find out, like if you go into Canada, Saskatchewan, you'll find little towns that are French. The French will come together, and they sort of, a lot of them migrate in their own little area there. And if you really want to go into the history of what's going on here, you know, the West and parts of them, they don't really like the French speaking.
There's a divide.
Yeah, there's a divide there, and there's but you got Montreal people out wearing Montreal, and people dislike them. And not get me wrong, they don't hate them, but there's a dislike when it comes
there's
to
a,
hockey.
There is it's almost like a rivalry. Correct. We'll call it that, where you know they view things differently.
Correct.
And shoot, I tell you what, growing up, like, and you were probably in Quebec at the time. When they tried to separate from Canada.
Yes.
You know, they tried to become their own independent little country, and, you know, that caused a lot of a lot of waves around the world, and especially in Canada.
Yep.
But, you know, so the Western, it's just like anything else. The farther you are away from an area, probably the less familiar you are and the less likely you are to like it.
For
so
sure.
Quebec and Ontario and the eastern provinces are pretty close together.
Yep.
But then when you start getting to Manitoba, Saskatchewan, the further you get, it's like they don't like, or they don't want to mix and mingle as much.
The French people they're a different breed too.
Yeah.
They live high on the hog, and they're pretty airy. And that's
well, they're not free of guilt in it, right? Like
exactly.
They create some of their own problems.
Yeah. But that's the way it, you know. Anyway,
that's why it's so great, though.
But it is. But that's the Mecca right out there in Montreal.
Yeah.
You know.
So to get back to the whole thing here,
sure.
A huge win for the Blues to go into Montreal, which is, we just decided it's the Mecca. We went in there and we won. And we beat Carey Price, even though Shea Weber scored two goals. So, I guess to summarize it, it's a huge win.
Yeah, I would. Well, I can tell you this. What? I mean, you see that thing staring at you with that orange thing?
Something come up there and said you lost connection. I was just wondering that it was involved with us, Grooms. That's all.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat here. I've lost my internet here. But that's okay. We got plenty of stuff here that we can do.
But you go back to – so we'll go to Montreal. But before Montreal, they get to Montreal Rivers in the Minnesota game. The Blues played well at Minnesota.
They played well there.
They outplayed them.
They probably deserved a better fate.
They deserved a better fate there. So it was coming that way. And then – and you know, so they were starting to come on the right side of the ball game, and – then when they got to Montreal, they just completed it, you know. Yeah. So and now they're in a tough stretch here right now. They're playing some tough hockey, and it's going to show what they got here.
Well, we talked about Cromes and I talked about it on Monday with Gary and Butter. It's a tough league.
Yes, it is.
Like to go 500, like that means you're winning a lot of hockey games. I know it sounds crazy how you're winning and losing the same amount, but my God, like the run that the Blues went on to start the season was, you know, it's out of the ordinary. And now what's happening is they're starting to have the clash of the Titans. You know, they play the Kings. They're going to play the Wild. Then they play Montreal, which is a tough game. They got to come back and play, you know, Dallas. And, like, it doesn't get any easier. There's not like –
Tampa's in there somewhere, too.
Yeah. And it's not a – very seldom do you have a night where you're like, okay, this is kind of a night off here where we don't have to be incredible for the entire 60 minutes.
You know, back – and I'll go back to Guy Lafleur, and I'll say another thing that when the Flower told us, when, you know, because I watched the man on TV. He was my idol growing up. So I always
he's
had to
a hell of a player,
I
man.
I always used to ask questions to him, but I said to the Flower, I said he would talk about the season going on. He said, and he always told me, he said, "Kimmy, the first 20 games, he says, you know, everyone's full of piss and vinegar. They're running around. You're trying to establish. You need to get off to a good start, and you get off to a good start, and then the next 40 games, you know, you're going through a straight. You go through Christmas. You go through the holidays. You know, you're getting tired. You're trying to glide. You get through that process, being in a playoff spot." And then the last 20, you're running to the top now.
Now you're
you're putting it all together to make that final push. So the Blues got the start they wanted. I think a lot of the cream's starting to rise to the top here. LA's coming, Nashville's coming. So now they got some guys visiting
Winnipeg.
Them at the top. Winnipeg sitting there. You got a lot of guys sitting up here at the top. So now the Blues are going to come through a stretch here where they have to keep their shit going in the right direction, because it's you know, if you don't, you're going to fall 10 points behind some of these guys, and that's going to be hard to make up in the long haul.
Yeah, no, they've they've got themselves in a good spot.
Correct.
Because of the good start, like you said, and now they just have to make sure that they don't flutter too much below that 500. Right, they got to be at least 500 or better through this stretch, like Guy Lafleur said, through this stretch, and then the last 20 games, pedal to the metal, so that you're hitting your stride at the right time.
For sure.
Yeah, and, you know, you guys brought that up. I'm looking at the standings, and, you know, that's probably what is the gut punch for Blues. I mean, we were sitting on top. We were dominating. Nashville didn't start the greatest. Some of these teams didn't start the greatest. All of a sudden, there's Kimby's team, Winnipeg, in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's you know, but you got it. Like, Kevin Cheveldayoff has done a great job with that team. And you know, kudos to the ownership in Winnipeg, too, for not getting too trigger-happy and thinking that, oh, well, Maurice has to go and Cheveldayoff has to go. They didn't. They stuck with it. And I can tell you that players love playing for Paul Maurice. Yeah. They just love him. And Kevin Cheveldayoff has done a great job of bringing along young guys, bringing in some key veteran guys, picking up guys who maybe weren't doing well in other areas, like Blake Wheeler. Yeah. You know, how do you slide that guy in now? Holy crap, what a move that is. And you got all these other – and now he's got the goalie, Hellebuck, who's playing – Hella good.
And you know, but you know, there's a little story with the Winnipeg, though. It's kind of funny because you got Chevy that's the GM there. I played in Brandon. Chevy comes in right after. I played junior against. And where he climbed himself to get to where he is remarkable what he did. And he's having success. But there's another guy down there. It was kind of strange. I was sitting – oh, this is a few years ago. I'm watching the draft, and this guy comes up on the stage, and he's a shorter guy. And I'm looking at who the hell's that? And here comes Craig Huizenga up on the stage. And Craig Huizenga used to be my trainer in Brandon.
Trainer.
And he was a great guy. Huizenga was a great guy. And I'm sitting there looking. I go, you know, and so Chevy probably, guy obviously knows his hockey.
He was the equipment guy in Manitoba in the IHL AHL.
And the Moose.
That's right. And somehow he went from equipment manager to GM of that team. How that happens, I don't know.
Assistant GM, isn't it?
Assistant, whatever. Or and Chevy. Then Chevy takes over Winnipeg and brings him in.
Yeah.
I mean, what a story.
What a story that is, too,
It's crazy. It's
amazing.
It's, once again, it's credit to those guys.
You're said, though, the truth with the Winnipeg thing is, though, there's been patience there. I've always said they've been a big team, because I watch when the Blues play, and the Blues have a tough time with them, but they're a big team. They play a heavy, heavy game. And The goaltending has been a huge part of that this year, and but they give the patience to them, and it's almost like the Montreal way that they bring the process. They let them, they keep their own guys, and they sort of build from within, and they let them get to where they need to get to.
Well, hopefully the way they've built that team for Winnipeg's sake, nothing to do with the Blues, but they can sustain that kind of a team for a while. I mean,
for sure.
At the end of the day, a competitive NHL is a healthy NHL, which means that we're going to get a lot more Blues hockey.
Yeah, and you know what? The Blues have done that too, though. They've
done a great job of homegrown.
They stayed loyal too, and that's, you know, probably a big part of where they're at. You know,
it is. You look at the guys now that are contributing. Your Vince Dunns and even your Joel Edmondson, your Colton Parayko. Yeah. Like some of your guys that are playing huge minutes. Your Tarasenko's, your Schwartz. Like these are guys that are homegrown. They didn't get traded for. Nobody went and got them.
No. Nope.
So it's good managing.
Yeah.
Well, we've been on the bench with Butter. We want to remind everybody to give Tommy Brown, our own coach Butter, from our Monday edition. He's Gary Henson's assistant coach there at McKendree University. Tax resolution by TommyBrown.com. If you find yourself in deep water with the IRS, Tommy Brown's your man. But more importantly, he's your man to keep you out of hot water ever with the IRS. Give him an opportunity for your business. Tax resolution by TommyBrown.com. If you own a business or you're self-employed, he's your man. He can help you utilize your money in a more proficient manner rather than just give it away, so to speak. I'd give him an opportunity. He's helped me tremendously. We've got a lot of guys around the office here now that are in that situation where they're quote-unquote self-employed, and he's helped them find better ways to utilize their money for their own business purposes. And a lot of things that go on. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not reading that tax code, so I trust guys like Tommy Brown.
Well, yeah,
so.
I don't get involved in that. I let the experts handle that.
Proactive tax planning, you know, he's your guy. IRS tax problem resolution. And, of course, if you just want somebody to do your taxes that you can trust, Tommy Brown is your guy. Once again, tax resolution by TommyBrown.com. All right, gents, let's get to the questions. I want to save the Twitter poll because I think I got a feeling that's going to be
it. That Twitter poll was pretty average, by the way. I'm just saying.
I was going to say everybody loved it, by the way.
That's pretty average.
It was tremendous. Everybody's digging that. So
some of them, come on. Joe.
Come on. That was a good one, and you know it.
Pretty average.
Yeah, I know. Hey, so hey, this is an interesting one. Let's kind of go in order of business, and then we'll get to something fun because I know you guys have some opinions on this. But you kind of touched a little bit. You mentioned Tarasenko dropping. Brennan Fort, at Brennan Fort, asked, should Yo drop Tarasenko to the third line to try and get him out of whatever funk he's in? Capitals did the same to Ovechkin last year, and look at him this season, on pace for almost 60 goals and 20 already.
I'm going to let Riz answer this, but people sit there and watch what other teams do. And some clown on NHL Network, or they'll say something, and then they always want to bring it to the – that's not what the story, you know, just because it's Tarasenko, and that's not it. Each coach does it a different way. You don't know what was going on with Ovechkin there. You don't know what the hell they're doing, why they ran him down there. Was he having a shitty – is Tarasenko – I don't know the answer to that, but I'm sure the hell not going to listen to some guy on NHL Network. If I want the answer, it's going to come from Mr. Yo in the corner, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and let's not get carried away here. Last time I checked, I think Laddie's still in the top 15 in the NHL in scoring, so it's not like he sucks, you know? Look, I think Yosi's done a good job of, I don't think it's demoting him or try to get him going. I think he's trying to spread it out a little bit. You know, we've been so successful as a, I hate to say just a one-line team, but that's really what we've been. And if you can break up some of those pieces and have some success, then it makes you more dangerous and more difficult to defend. So, you know, I'm not buying into the fact of Tarasenko needs to get going here. I think that he's doing just fine. You know, maybe the puck's not finding the back of the net as much as it should, but he's still drawing coverage. He's still, you know, he's still a big part of the game, even though he's not scoring. So, and I'm seeing effort out of him. I'm not seeing him pout and sulk and, you know, not back check. He's doing all the things that he's supposed to be doing. So kind of like we talked about Jaden Schwartz last year a little bit, if he keeps playing the right way, good things will happen.
What if he goes down to the third line and gets Bergie-itis? What the hell? Then you're really screwed.
Oh, boy.
Then
oh,
you're
boy.
Screwed.
Oh, boy.
Well, maybe you could catch some fire off of that stick Kimby.
Well, let me give you the follow-up that I know a lot of. I see this a lot, so I want to do the
fan
follow-up.
I had seven goals 1 year, so anyone can score.
That practice doesn't count, okay?
Is that your season
seven,
high?
Yes.
Where was that at?
Boston.
Did
Good
you
Lord.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're almost,
is that when they had all the fog on the ice?
They wanted me to play the off wing with Neely and Oatsy, and I said, I better not do that. We want to let the Stars have the power here.
Yeah? You said, let me show you a few things here, eh?
Off wing, all right. Okay. Off the ice.
You showed them how to do some things in the tavern, I'll bet you.
Says you need to reboot here.
Yeah, I'm all right. Hey, listen.
Quit distract him. He has a hard enough time like, in here. My God.
85 things on my screen.
So he's like shiny nickel, hey, squirrel.
You know what? Fans bring this up all the time, and this is a great question for you guys to answer. Fans get frustrated when coaches start changing lines. Why do they do that? I mean, I kind of have an idea just from years of listening to you guys talk, but what is the reason? Like, fans get like, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why can't they just leave? Like, that's always the question, right? Why can't they just leave the lines alone and let these guys get some chemistry? Why do they always change lines like they do?
But I think you're looking for chemistry is what you're, you know, there. It depends what level you're playing at and where people are coming from. You know, there's a, St. Louis went through with, when Keenan come through here, he did it to be an asshole. He was doing it to kick someone in the ass. That's the old school way of how they used to fire. I watched his protege there in Chicago, the clown. He would get JR going. He would get Chelios going. They'd get under their skin and they'd make him play better. And that's the way Keenan used to do it. But that's not the way a lot of guys have gone away from that. And you mix and match your lines. And once you find something, that's what Yo has been doing for a while. And he's got the record to prove that he's doing it right. So you don't get going too crazy on the system.
Well, there's a lot of things now that are taken into consideration, and people that you just can't even see it as a fan. Now, even if you're the biggest fan in the world, you can't see it because the coaches now have access to a whole slew of analytics, right? And they're using them, and they're looking at it saying this line is deficient on puck possession. They're not getting,
they're using them. Yeah.
They're not, you know, getting as many shots on net. They're giving up more shots on net. Their time in the offensive zone is less than their time in the defensive zone. So this player here, his numbers are great. Maybe if we take him off of that line, add him to this line, it increases their percentage on this. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. It's not, and sometimes, like our good friend John Tortorella said, sometimes it's just a feel.
Yeah.
Coaches just say, screw it, I got a feeling.
Right.
And they got to be coaches. And so sometimes there's a reason for it, and sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. It's just you got a feeling, you go for it. These guys are NHL hockey players. They should be able to play with whoever the hell they get out there with.
But a lot goes through history of hockey too, Rivs. The game's passed on from generation to generation to generation, and it was done many years ago, way before we were even involved in hockey. And everything goes, and people learn off that, and it's passed on to the next thing. And then someone will come in and invent something, and it'll go to another thing. But they're not.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their different way of doing it. Like Torches are old school sort of come a new school. Torches, he crosses the line, but he gets back in line real quick.
Yeah.
You know.
I think.
And I love him. I love him. This new thing, this analytics shit that you're doing. I know.
I just have to be honest that it's there.
True. It's there.
You know,
right.
Whether I like it or not is irrelevant.
I would have never made it in this game. I'd be fighting that one.
But you know what? You may have been better than you think.
No, I don't think
you
so.
Never know. Yeah. So that's the thing is you don't know sometimes what they're looking for. And just like anything else, you can use the analytics as a positive. If you want to find a positive, you can do it. And if you want to find a negative, you can use some of the negative stuff. So to get back, I guess, to the original thought on this is coaches sometimes they mix and match because they have a certain strategy in mind. And sometimes it's just a feel and they see how it goes. And if it goes good, they leave it. If it doesn't, they change it up again.
Yeah.
Great question, Brennan Fort. Let's move on. This is a hypothetical, and we'll just get your guys' thoughts as to see where you would go with this. OGG at Lego My Grego. That's a great Twitter handle, by the way. I like that one. Humor me, boys. Stastny, $7 million off the books at season's end. Bold next year. Tavares free agent. Give him a Stamkos deal. Elite center with Tarasenko. Then you have the Shen Schwartz line, Berge and Steen line three. Now you can prep the parade. Thoughts?
Well, yeah, of course. And, you know, we can wish in one hand and shit in the other. How's that go? You know?
That is exactly how it goes.
I mean, look, John Tavares is – do you think St. Louis is going to be his only option?
No, absolutely not.
Like, that's the thing that people have to understand. It's not like the Blues would not want to be involved in that negotiation. It's not like they wouldn't want him here. But they can only offer him so much money.
Right.
And – you know, the Islanders do have the advantage because they can offer him, 8 years, where everybody else in the league can only offer him 7 years.
Kind of the same thing you were mentioning last year with Shattenkirk.
Yeah. Correct. And also, other teams will have more cap space, or they'll be willing to make more cap space for this guy. The Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be in the hunt for this guy. They're going to figure out some way to try and get John Tavares. I mean, Mike Babcock and that team is right on the cusp of being really, really dominant, like the Oilers were, like the Blackhawks were for a bit. Like, this is going to be a team like that. If they add Tavares, you know, sky's the limit. So same can be said about the Blues. So, yeah, I guess the answer to the question is, yeah, I'd love to see it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that he's going to want to come to St. Louis.
I think from this point, what I'm looking at, though, he's out there, but I think you got your number one centerman sitting right in your lap right now. Shen's sitting there. And he's doing a hell of a job, I think.
Oh, he is.
And, you know, what Bomeister's, whatever, if his contract runs out, well, okay, it runs out. You're going to do something. But, you know, Stastny, it's like we were talking before the show. He's doing some good things right now. He's doing some good things. Are you going to just throw everything? You can't do that. You don't know. And you're going to get in a bidding war where you're going to – you go back to those days where the big Mikester was in town here and he just threw all the money out and then you're fucking done. You know,
well, that's the thing is, that one, they're not going to have – no matter how you do the math, they're still not going to have a ton of money to throw around. And then you can't handcuff yourself for the next 7 years after that either.
You know, it's funny. You're talking about Shanahan?
Keenan.
Keenan. Oh, he threw around the money there.
Yeah, but you got all these young kids coming up.
But there was no cap either then.
And so you're under a cap, and you got young kids that are – the World Juniors are coming up. You got a ton load of kids that are coming through that. Someone's got to pay these guys.
I was going to say that. Well, all these kids are going to be – Shanahan.
No, but these kids are going to be re-upping. These other kids, these younger guys that are on entry-level deals and all this stuff, and the Parecos, you know, within this 7 years that you're talking about, there's a lot of guys that have to be signed again.
That's right.
And how are you going to do that if you just go all in on one player who, quite honestly, he's been a good player, but he's not Sidney Crosby. He's not Ovechkin.
What's he won?
Who knows, right? He's going to want, well, with the way he...
Has he won anything yet?
He hasn't won anything,
What has he won?
If you're going to go tell me, like, Sidney Crosby's on the table and I'm going to spend, like, some money...
I'd sell the farm on that one.
Because now I got a leader. I got something going on. You know, I got someone that's been down the road. That's what you're looking for. You know, that's why Messier was... He was the leader of when our thing was going on, back when I was playing. He was the man. And the Rangers get him. He wins, and the man goes down as a hero for what he did there for the New York. But, you know, if you're taking a leader, that's a different ballgame.
A little bit different game.
Well, and I think that the Blues, at the end of the day, the answer to that question is the Blues would be foolish not to kick the tires and to talk about it and to reach out to Tavares or his agent or whoever. Beyond that, I think they'd have to do some serious wheeling and dealing to make that work.
Well, it's a good question, though, because, you know, who doesn't love to talk hypotheticals, right? It's a lot of fun. All right, this next question will then lead us into our Twitter poll, which I think now is the official start of story time with Uncle Creepy, because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of stories flying around here about all the names I'm about to mention. So
Uncle Creepy.
Uncle Creepy?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
We talked about it Monday. You know, there was a show on L1.
Yeah, I'd rather be called something else. Uncle
Ian
McCall. Creepy.
You know Ian McCall, the ultimate fighting guy? He's got the mustache. They call him Uncle Creepy.
He
does a show on this network called Storytime with Uncle Creepy because they call him Uncle Creepy. It's unbelievably great, and he is a character, let me tell you, to say the least. All right, so last question for our Twitter Twitter questions, which, again, one of the umbrellas under Innovated Companies, Innovated Electric. We want to thank them for their sponsorship of our Twitter questions for our shows. Don't forget, at Innovated Electric, they can handle new construction, panel changes, full-service upgrades. They can replace fixtures and devices, full-service departments, exterior and interior lighting, energy management systems, and, of course, if you have any issues with inspection violations, they are the name you can trust. Innovated Electric, underneath the Innovated Company's umbrellas, fully licensed, bonded, and insured, 35-plus years experience, second-generation craftsman and Randy Green there, InnovatedCompanies.com. Last question, boys. This is, she's always got a good one for us, and I think this is one that we knew we were going to talk about today. We talked about it a little bit before the show. I know fans want to hear your perspective, and I think they're going to be surprised by your thoughts on this, because I think it's real easy to hate on it. Thoughts on Thornton's hit on Osh? Dirty, accidental, fine, suspension? I'm biased because I don't care for the guy, so I need a more knowledgeable opinion. I'm going to go first and tell you that I think I'm the only fan.
First time ever.
I think I'm the only fan. I'm the only fan that watched that thing. I watched it 35 times minimum in slow motion.
How do you know that?
What do you mean? It was on. So
it's a bold statement that you're the only guy.
No. I'm the only guy that watched it and think it wasn't dirty. That's my point. Everybody's roasting this guy. It looked like a. If you watch it, Osh just going down was a bad deal.
We didn't think it was dirty. So what are you getting at?
But you're not fans. You're former players.
No,
you guys are smarter than the average bear. But you're smarter than the average bear. I'm a knucklehead. So my point is that I watched it, and when everybody was freaking out, I was like, what I see is Osh gets turned in a bad spot, and as he goes down, don't be fooled. Thornton was going in there to lay one on him, and he's turning, but Osh is the one that goes down and gets turned, and his head's hip high. I mean, that's just a bad deal, I think. I don't know. I'll just like her now, I'll go to the experts.
Well, we had brief conversation about it. The hit was nothing to me. It was just like you said, there's just a circumstance went on. Watching Thornton over my, and Jamie knows him better than I do, but watching the man over his career, and I might get a little harsh with some fans around, but he isn't a dirty player. He's not going to go in and do that. He's a goal scorer guy. He don't even go in to hit a lot of the times. But I have more respect for the man, what he did after the fight that I was telling you about, because someone come to call on what happened, and the man answered his own bell, and I like that. That showed me a lot about the man. So the hit, though, you know, they're just looking for crap. It's like the NFL, Chromes. You've seen the nonsense going on in the Pittsburgh game. Same identical things, and they're throwing out different things here and there. You can never get the NHL can never be steady on what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, look, Joe Thornton has played, 20 years in the NHL, or damn close, you know, and we can pinpoint, three or four things that maybe have happened surrounding him that could be classified as borderline or dirty.
Yeah. Well, one, personal. What? Perron.
Okay, but he steps out of the box. Like, I would have done the same thing.
Exactly.
I mean, just standing there, you lay into the guy. It's not really his fault that Perron doesn't have his head up on that one. And I'm not defending the hit, I guess. We're getting off track here. Where I was headed with it is, we can only pinpoint a few things in a long career. It's a physical sport. It's fast. Things happen. If we can only pinpoint three or four things in his career that have been maybe dirty, he's not a dirty player. He's one of the best players of all time, one of the best passers of all time.
When you go in to hit a guy in the corner, I will promise you, anyone that knows how to hit or does their hitting, they don't go in and they turn their ass into – that's almost like they're just trying to get in there and bump and get going the other way. They're not coming in there to create damage.
He's trying to stop the forward progress on that one, and we talk about it all the time. You're trying to break the triangle, which is, you know, the stick, the ice, and the body. You're trying to go in there to stop his forward progress, and that's kind of what Joe was doing on that one. Was he was coming in to get body position to stop Oshie from being able to continue down the wall. Now, the fact that as he's turning his body and Oshie's going down, he sandwiches his head, it's unfortunate.
If he would have kneed him in the head or...
Yeah, or come down with an elbow or
something. There's dirtiness there, but he didn't do that. That's not where he was
It's
going.
Unfortunate. He's 6'4", 240. He's a big man, so a lot of weight coming, especially coming in the backside like that on Osh's head. And I love Osh, and everybody in St. Louis loves TJ Oshie still to this day. And it's unfortunate, but I have a really hard time having played with Joe, and he's a good friend of mine, personal friend. It's not his disposition, you know, but it is his disposition, like you said, to go and stick up for himself and answer the bell and say, okay, well, screw it. You know what? I did it. You want to fight? Let's go. You know, and he did it, and he got it over with, and he didn't have to. Nope. Like, why should Joe Thornton have to fight Wilson? He shouldn't have to, but he probably recognized that guy's out of the game and whatnot. Okay, well, here we go, and you hear him after the game. I'm a big boy. I can take care of myself.
And it was, to me, it was a win-win for hockey because – Joe Thornton stuck up for himself, which I love, because you got to stick up for yourself if you need help. If you're showing you're going to do that. And then Wilson come up and stuck up for his team because Oshie got hit. So he did stick up for his team, which I love that part of it.
And it really wasn't done in a bullshit way either.
No.
You know, it wasn't some huge spectacle that made look as obviously Peter DeBoer after wasn't happy with the Capitals because he felt like they put Wilson on the ice on purpose for it.
I got nothing wrong with what happened.
You know what? At the end of the day, players do their own shit sometimes. You know, and you know, Kimby in the locker room, you have guys that say, hey, whenever he gets on, I'm getting on.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter where the coach, sometimes the coach doesn't even know what the hell is going on. He'll look and go, well, how the hell is, what's he doing on the ice? And all of a sudden there's a fight because it's been talked about or thought about. To me, it's a non-issue. You got a Hall of Fame hockey player who doesn't really have a track record of being this malicious guy over 20 years, and he put a hit on that was borderline that I don't think he'd do any other day of the week. He stood up for himself. To me, time served on this one.
I agree.
And is it, so it's just plainly personal because of the Perron hit for us.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is, and I get it. I mean, it's borderline what he did to David Perron, but still we're isolating what one hit. Name another Joe Thornton thing. Apart from Oshie and Perron, name one.
Oh, I don't have any. I don't know. I mean,
I know, but I'm just saying.
I understand the hate here. I get it because, you know, we love our team, and it did look bad with the Perron thing. It's almost like he took advantage of like a defenseless receiver in the NFL is what it looked like.
I would have done it a million times.
Yeah, like the play itself looks like it might be dirty just because of the outcome, but it's really not a dirty play. Well, and if that makes sense.
No, it does. I would say this. I'll give you the opportunity to answer this as Kimball just said it. The truth of the matter is, if the situation was reversed and Joe Thornton had his head down and David Perron come out of the box, would he have laid into him?
Well, he would have tried to.
Well, I was going to say. I mean, yeah, Joe's a big man.
No, but like, it just, it is what it is, and especially back then. Like, the game has changed even how much since that injury happened?
Sure.
A ton, right? So, look, at the end of the day, I'm sorry. This is like, if you look at in the world of legal stuff, and you have somebody's, you know, name, and you go through their track record, their rap sheet.
Right.
His rap sheet isn't long enough in any shape or form to suggest that he's a dirty hockey player.
You know, you said you played with him young. When a guy comes along like that, that's that big and that talented, as a player, is it scary, kind of, almost?
It's unbelievable. He was young. He was, you know, 19, 20 at the time in Boston. And, man, he was so good and so big and strong and fast. And he was tough as nails. And, you know, he reminds me of a Jágr, you know, not the goal-scoring ability, but just the size of him, the way he protects the puck. If you watch him out there on the power play, like, you can't get the puck from this guy. He shields it with his body. Now with today's game, too, like, can you imagine, I said this before about Jágr, but can you imagine Joe Thornton coming in now as an 18-year-old with the way the NHL rules are? This guy, who knows what he would do in that league. So, yeah, it's quite the thing to have such size, such ability, such speed, all that into one player. It's pretty impressive.
He's a guy, and I believe he's never won the Stanley Cup, correct?
No, he has not.
So he's a guy that's going to fall into the Jeremy Roenick and the Walt Tkachuk sort of scenario, sort of.
He's an automatic, Kimby.
Yeah, but they got long. I'm just saying.
He's an automatic.
He falls into that in mine, because I think JR's an automatic. I think Walt is an automatic, but I'm just saying. They fall into that little category of not ever winning a championship, and that's, you know, I consider that second tier is what I do. That's me. That's just what we had that conversation before.
Yeah,
Cam Neely's in the same boat, you know.
Joe Thornton, I mean, shoot, I think he has 1,000 assists.
Yeah,
like that. Never mind anything else. I think he got 1,000 assists like last year. So like,
that's just the way I look at it.
He puts him more successful than Eric Lindros. Than all those guys.
Longevity. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Deneen Preston, Raziel Marie. She is always on our side and always promoting the show. So thank you. We're happy to answer your question. That brings us to a fun topic, and this one will be interesting because you guys lived through some of this era. Our fans had a lot of fun with this one. As Blues fans, who do you hate the most out of the following? This was interesting. I am a little shocked at the results. So you guys aren't really fans. I can ask you this. I can ask you who you think. Did you see the results?
I did not see the results.
Okay, so no. I'm going to ask you, and you tell me who you think the fans chose, because you guys aren't, I mean, then again, maybe you do have a personal opinion about this one.
I lived through the one. So.
Okay, well, here. As Blues fans, who do you hate the most of the following? Joe Thornton, Nick Kiprios, Mike Keenan, or Judge Edward Houston?
Well, I know I saw a lot of Judge Houston on this, and every time I pulled up my Twitter account, I could see people were still going off on Houston left and Houston this and Houston that, and so... I'm just going to say, because I think I saw that the most, that was the highest vote.
All right. Kimby?
Yeah, I'll tell you, because I voted on this, too.
Okay, so...
I did, too. That's not who I voted for.
Well, who'd you vote for? Do you not want
to
say?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
So the Houston part, I'm here when that goes on, so we're playing. I'm here when that history...
I would love to know your thoughts at that time.
Well, no, we were furious. It was the whole city was furious what the hell went on.
You, too. Like, players, too.
For sure. Okay. For sure. And... but I, as a hockey person, looking at the whole map, I voted Keenan was my guy because I just despise the goddamn man.
Surprise, surprise.
And his little brother that he brought along, I just despise the man.
Tell everybody who his little brother is.
Daryl Sutter.
There you go.
You called him. He's been affectionately called Clown Protege.
He reminds me more
brother.
Of Sloth from the Goonies.
Jesus Christ. I'll have nightmares again tonight now, damn it.
It's fun, and this is why I was excited to get to this. So I forgot about that. You were here.
Kimby lived it.
Walk us through the Judge Houston thing with the Scott. Walk us through that.
Well, it's just he was dealing with. We had a good damn hockey team.
My gosh!
You know, we choked against the Minnesota in the second round. It was us in Chicago the whole year fighting it out. Boom, boom, boom. And we made the trade, and we. Chicago gets beat up by Minnesota. We go 7 games with Detroit, which we never expected. We found a way to. We were down 3-1. We come back. We win. Minnesota comes in. They beat us the first game 2-1 in our barn, and we could never win in there. Their barn was going crazy, and we just couldn't win in there. And so we had a fabulous hockey team. And then all of a sudden the summer comes along and everything starts to fall apart a little bit because your leader is in the midst of all this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're so – and Scotty was the best – defenseman at the time,
your leader, your grit, everything. Your all that.
Like this is the guy he plays against the best of them.
Oh my
gosh! And now he's in the, so now you don't know what the hell's going on, and it just was you took him right out of our locker room.
You know, that's awful. That was, I mean,
looking back now, can you imagine?
Oh god!
Oh, I was as obsessed with hockey at any time in my life as I was during that stage. You know, I had played a little bit of high school hockey. Now we're playing beer hockey. We're having a great time. Some of the guys you've met, Grant. I mean, it was morning, noon, and night for us. And when Scott Stevens came to St. Louis, I met him he came in and did a signing through, it was either Easton or somebody at a local place. And I met him. I remember shaking his hand going, holy cow, this guy is like a piece of iron.
Yeah.
And you saw the video of him, of the stuff he did in Washington. And then he went out and played. And I watched a shift where I guess he got pissed off. And he literally skated up to everybody on the ice and whacked the shit out of them and let them know he was there and then would just be. And I'm like, oh, my God, I fucking love. I mean, this guy is a hockey player and the team around him. And then when that happened, I mean, it was like having your heart ripped out.
If you understand Scotty Stevens pretty well. Eric Lindros coming to the league, and he was the super Adonis of the bloody – he was just a monster among
– He was boys. A new wave of player, yeah. Like 6'4", 240, could skate like anybody. Like he was going to be, oh, my God.
Everything. And when Scotty starts digging him at the blue line and waking him up, that pretty well ends the man's career because he goes into – you know, he gets into these concussion shit and all that's going on.
Scotty was in his kitchen from, like, day one. Yeah. He went after him the first couple of games, like, and it was like –
But to go – so after – and when I voted on it, I voted on it because of my own. But if you look back – now, if I vote on it because I'm a person that played for the Blues, and if I want to be a Blues fan and I'm looking at it, the judge is the guy that really screws it all up. Because the biggest thing in St. Louis hockey, and I think everyone has to admit this, when Scotty left, look what he did to New Jersey. They go on and they win the Stanley Cup. And then you get Holly leaves town. He wins a Stanley Cup. Brendan Shanahan leaves town. He wins a Stanley Cup. Chris Pronger leaves town. He wins a Stanley Cup. This shit keeps going on and on and on. And I think that's where the hatred of the Blues fans, come into this ballgame. They start to get really pissed because guys, they're superstars who they cheer on, go away, and they win Stanley Cup. And why isn't it happening here?
Yeah.
And then Scotty Stevens really is the start of that. That's where, you know, the big move with Scotty. Scotty's the first one to venture out, and that's what happens. And then Shanny goes, and then, you know, and Holly goes. But that's where, and I think that's where a lot of the hatred comes in St. Louis. That's the tip. That's the tipping point right there. That's where it all started. And Scotty leaving town and then going to win the Stanley Cups, people just got a bad taste in their mouth from that point on. And then to watch their other hero go down the road, it's a tough pill to swallow.
Well, there were a lot of heroes that left after that, right? Like, like Scotty Stevens gets, I don't want to say run out of town, but he leaves town or whatever. Who, in my opinion, Scotty Stevens is arguably one of the most impactful defensemen ever in the NHL. And I mean, you know, he had a slight bit of offense to him to be able to play power play and contribute. He was physical, mean, and nasty, and strong, and fast. And, like, he was a nightmare to play against for the opposition. So, and to do it as long as he did, like, man, what a shame that he couldn't have wore the blue note for that entire time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we get into further down the pole here. We go from Judge Houston to a guy like Mike Keenan. Oh. You want to talk about guys that he possibly ruined.
Yep.
You know, Brett Hull, he got rid of Brendan Shanahan. He got rid of Curtis Joseph. He brought in guys that didn't mix well or that were too old or past their prime. He did a lot of craziness. Yep. And, you know, it's unfortunate he was given the ultimate power when he came in. He was head coach and general manager. And, man, it was like he was just playing a game of fantasy hockey and threw a bunch of shit on the wall and whatever stuck. And, you know, shit, he even had Gretzky here and he screwed that up. So
it took him a long time to dig this out of this hole that they've got out of.
Been a long time. And it almost really, if you look at the domino effect of it there, like, thank God Joel Quenneville came along and did. But it took him a while with that whole show, too, to get that turned around.
Yep.
So, you know, my vote was Mike Keenan. And look, there's a whole bunch of emotional reasons that I could tie to that and stories that I could bore everybody with for hours. But he just came in. He disrupted everything that had been in place. And, you know, the Blues, like Kimby said, the Blues were such a good team. and they had so much talent sitting there, and the possibilities were endless with that group. And I remember coming in as a young guy at 18. It was unbelievable. Then 19, Keenan's around, and everything changed. And we had a hell of a hockey team when I first came in, and then guys were upset, underperforming, replaced, traded, cut, waived, whatever you want to do. He just, unfortunately, his input into everything messed the rest of it up for a number of years. Yep. And that, to me, is why he's the biggest one.
When he came here as a fan, everybody was excited as hell, man. I mean, he said all the right things, and he had this attitude, and he brought
world's
this
best
thing,
salesman.
You know, and then that was when I worked for the Blues. So I was getting I met him. I literally walked into the little, you know, the area to the right where you can go in. There's a refrigerator and areas. I'm going in there to get a soda, and there's somebody leaned over in the refrigerator, and I said, he literally was bent over in the refrigerator for like 30 seconds. I'm like, are you going to get the hell out of the way? I didn't know who it was. Finally, I go, hey, can you hand me one of those Pepsis? And he goes, sure. And he turns around, hi, Mike Keenan. And I'm like, oh, wow, you don't care who I am. He goes, oh, sure I do. You know, I was kind of having some fun with him. But then we have a Christmas thing, and you would always sit down there. And I wind up sitting at a table with him talking to, again, nobodies like myself. And he was weird, man. Like, he looked to me like something was going on, like not all there. And I'm sitting there going, huh, that's odd.
You know, it's.
And then the next thing you know, all hell's breaking loose. And I'm like, dude, he was weird from the get-go.
You know what's really scary about these? Daryl Sutter was the same way. He coached under Keenan. And he ran with that for a long time. When he went to L.A. and they win the Stanley Cups, he had to change his philosophy just a little bit because they wouldn't have survived out there. But he still, from my understanding, the players, I'm jumping around here a bit, but you go look and you look how Hitch runs a thing. And I'm not saying Hitch is that way, Rivs. I understand where I'm going to go here. He runs a military-style format that you come at and it wears thin. I think Hitch is a hell of a lot smarter than what Daryl Sutter was. He played those mind games Hitch does. And, you know, I used to watch All-Stars, guys that are in the Hall of Fame. And my good friend of mine, Eddie Belfour, when they went, these guys would play with their mind, and they would go. Not that they knew they were, but they just piss them off. They say they call them terrible. They call them horseshit, different language, but they call them a lot of things. That's how they try to get them to go. That was old school, the old school of hockey, and it's kind of funny because the guy would do that to him, and you'll talk to these guys like Eddie or. When I talk, I'll ask him about him, and they still have a loyalty to this son of a bitch, and I don't get it. Some ways, they just, you know what, it was just because that was their mentality, how they needed to be pushed, and it's kind of crazy because JR was the same way, Chelios was the same way, but it was just, it's not that there was a hatred there, but it was weird. It was really weird.
Well, where Mike Keenan missed the boat, and some people may know this, and they may not, and I'll just give you a little backstory here, is Scotty Bowman had a history with St. Lawrence University way, way back when. And people are going to say, where the hell is that? Upstate New York. Anyways, Mike Keenan came in there under Scotty Bowman in that whole thing. And Jacques Martin was up in St. Lawrence. And so that part is kind of irrelevant right now. But we fast forward into the NHL. And Scotty Bowman was famous for having a quirky way of managing his teams, of doing weird shit to get guys going, and not necessarily degrading them, but just doing different stuff where people go, holy shit, is he insane? You know, is he all there? And Scotty Bowman did that, but he did it successfully. And whether guys loved him or hated him or this and that, when I went to Detroit, I got a firsthand look at Scotty. And he was a genius at managing egos. You know, hockey smart, obviously, not the smartest X's and O's coaches I've ever seen, certainly, but a genius at managing egos and putting guys in positions to make them better and the team better. Where Mike Keenan missed the boat on this is he was trying to literally emulate Scotty Bowman. And so he went all weird and did screwy shit and tried to mess with things and all that, but he never knew why he was doing them. Whereas Scotty had a reason for it and he had a goal that he was trying to meet with these players or what he was doing. Mike, in my opinion, never had that goal. He just figured that he's going to mess with these guys and twist with things and screw with things, and that it was going to be the Scotty Bowman effect where he was going to manage these egos. What he didn't realize is because there was no real end game to it, those egos just got worse and those guys got more angry and more frustrated, and there was no end game. The end game is those players leaving unhappy.
Yeah.
So to me, that right there is it in a nutshell. is Mike Keenan was not successful in emulating Scotty Bowman the way he wanted to.
You know what's funny about this is for the longest time, man, Nick Kyprios' name would get just roasted over the Colts here. Yeah. And the
well, he's in there, but like when you look at one play, you know, and yeah. I'm sorry, I was there, and Keenan's the coach, and then Keenan goes on to screw up the whole Gretzky thing, everything following the Kyprios. So the Kyprios thing is there, but
part of the dominoes.
You know,
and I'll give you the results. Mike Keenan wins it going away at 46%. Joe Thornton.
I voted 400 times.
Well, what's
no, I'm just kidding.
Hey, Joe Thornton and Judge Houston tie at 22%.
That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I would have thought Judge Houston would have won.
That's probably. You know what I think that is?
I think that's the age of the people voting.
Well, that's the thing is, I think it's the modern, you know, younger people who remember Perron, but they don't necessarily remember.
Yeah, but they remember Keenan. That's interesting. So,
well, but that's because we keep talking.
But you're right, Nick. So I got last question because we're up against the time here. What would Brett Hull vote? You guys both know the man. Who would he vote in this one?
It depends.
Well, he lived through a couple of different scenarios.
That's
there.
What I mean.
Brett Hull, you know, if Brett didn't go on to win the Stanley Cup with Dallas and Detroit, if he doesn't do that, I think he goes probably along the way of the judge because the judge affected him going towards that goal.
That was directly on him.
Yeah. And then, but the way that Keenan – all his effort was going towards Brett at one point, and then Brett was coming back at him. There was a fight going on.
Oh, it was awful.
You know, so there's – personally, Brett probably would go against Keenan, I would think. I'm just guessing.
Kimby, there's no doubt in my mind. Yeah. If I had everything, my life to bet on this poll, and I gave him those four options, he's voting Keenan.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
But if he took back and he was older, though, and he looked back at it, though – I think if he didn't have the Stanley Cups, I think it plays a different part in his.
Yeah, but you know, Keenan cost him cups too.
Keenan did too. You're right.
So you know that's what true. Sucks. And Keenan cost him Gretzky. Keenan cost him Brendan Shannon. Keenan cost there's a lot him.
Well, like I said, you guys know the man. So here's a good one. Hull walking through the center there, and Keenan comes to town, and they pass each other in the hall. How's that go?
Hully won't even look at him.
I don't think he even talked to him.
Won't even look at him.
I don't think so.
Won't even look at him. Won't even talk to him. Wouldn't acknowledge him.
Interesting.
No chance. He wouldn't chirp him just because it's not worth it, but Hollywood, and if Keenan tried to...
Whoever he's walking with, he'd talk about it, he'd say a smart-ass comment when he went by.
Yeah. And Keenan, knowing Mike, he'd probably want to try and, like, he'd probably say hi, and Hollywood'd be like, please, and walk away. I'm almost positive of that.
I think so, too.
Hey, what do you guys got? St. Louis Amateur Report this weekend. What's up with you guys, both of you?
You know what? We're finally playing some home games here for the first time in a long time. So we are. Our team's been playing well, and we were up in Chicago. We had a bunch of teams up there, and we did fairly well up there as a organization against the organization we were playing. So things are going good. You're going through a process here. We got this in Notre Dame next weekend. So. And then we only got two more out-of-town trips, which is good. It's sort of slowing that shit down. That's getting crazy.
Yeah. As far as on my side of things, quiet time for the AAA team. But, you know, things are certainly picking up with Synergy Hockey for the holiday season. We have those three camps that we've talked about a couple of times now, one at Merrimack, one at the Mills, and one in Pacific. It's online right now, synergyhockeyskills.com. Spots are filling up fast, so if anybody knows of anybody or knows that they want to sign up, get on there quickly because they're running out. People are looking for things to do over the holidays, and some people are even giving them as gifts to their kids. So it's an interesting thought either way, but get on there and sign up.
Good stuff, gentlemen. You know, as you head into the holidays here and kids get that two-week break, you know, they'll be looking to do some stuff and you know, again, that's the great thing about hockey. It's going on during a great time of year. You know, you guys are so heavily involved in this one way or another, Darren. I know you're not coaching right now, but maybe you should be. But
yeah, you should be.
Yeah, the reality of it is good things happening. You see anything on the rink front you want to report? I mean, you know, a lot of listeners out there curious with how this rink thing's going.
You know, I don't have anything that I could say, oh, hey, it's etched in stone. The only update I have, and I'm sure a lot of people are aware of it, is two updates, really, is the Chesterfield project. It got voted in for the TDD money to help them get going and get started. And to my knowledge, they're looking to try and get everything sorted out, and I think they still have some funding to get here as soon as possible and hopefully try and break ground late spring or summer. To my knowledge, it's like a two-year project. And then with the St. Louis Blues, the ice center that they're trying to create, they obviously hit a speed bump in Maryland Heights with some of that stuff. And it's my understanding that there's some land that has been donated by Hollywood Casino in that area. And it looks like they're going to take the project, literally airlift the project and go drop it over there. And once again, it looks like it's a two-year process to this. Of course, none of this is even finalized. You know, this is, as far as an update, you could call it a rumor, you could call it whatever you want it. This is kind of where it's at right now. This is kind of the word on the street. So if people really want to get involved in this, they should get out there and find out how they can help both of these projects, because it's going to take both of these projects and a project in Afton. They want to put a double rink out there. It's going to help. All these projects are really essential to continuing the market in St. Louis growing. And before we go, we have to mention that because of the youth hockey in St. Louis, we've got, what, four kids that were selected for Team USA World Junior Camp that's coming up. We got Logan Brown, Jeff Brown's son, Trent Frederick, who is a first-rounder to the Boston Bruins. We've got Brady Tkachuk, Keith Tkachuk's son, who's the last one here on the way up. Looks like he's going to be possibly a top 10 pick overall in the NHL coming up. And then we got Joseph Wool, who goaltender, second-round pick by the Maple Leafs, plays at Boston College. Hell of a goalie. So probably number one goalie for this tournament. So four guys from St. Louis that are still on a national, international stage coming up, and all the more reason to build more rinks here.
You know, as I said once, I'll say again, it's awesome for you, and again, you get that dad thing going to know those kids come through and worked with your Synergy hockey group. But don't ever forget, folks, there are literally thousands and thousands of kids that roll through Synergy hockey that are just trying to be the best players they can be. And while they may never play at that level, they're having a blast. And again, some of the pictures you post and things like that, these kids are having a great time. And it gives them an opportunity really to learn hockey from some of the best guys around. So appreciate all you do for youth hockey in St. Louis. Remember our friends at Nelson Land Services. Of course, the great Nelson family, obviously friends with both of these guys and Coach Henson as well. They're looking for an opportunity for your business when it comes to their landscaping. NelsonLandServices.com, professional landscaping at reasonable costs. They are a 5-star locally rated landscaping company. They are the landscaping experts. Scott Nelson, I'm going to say, does his best to put up with Kimby probably on most weekends. I don't know if he can keep up with you. Can he keep up with you, Darren?
Oh, yes, he can.
He can keep up with you.
He's a hell of a man.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Give him a call, 636-244-5651. They would appreciate that opportunity. And, of course, our good friend Jamie over here and his wonderful Synergy hockey. Guys, that's going to do it. Hitch comes to town. Do you expect anything less from Hitch than what he normally brings?
No, they're coming without Ben Bishop,
yeah.
Which is good for us, bad for them. He's got something that's going on that he's trying to work with as far as an injury. But, look, Hitch has got that team playing pretty well. You know, they're scoring goals. They're a fast team. They're a big team. You've always got to be aware of any team coached by Hitch, especially when they have so much firepower that could hurt you.
It's going to be curious because they come off of Dallas, or Nashville, where they were down 5-0. So they come off with a sour taste in their mouth. So that can either go one way or go the other way.
Yeah. It'd be a good game.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, there's really not any games now coming up that you look at and go, that's a crap game. They're all going to be good games.
Yeah.
Well, great stuff, guys. Appreciate it. I know our fans enjoyed you guys talking about some of the things that, you know, that poll question was really designed around some poor moments for Blues fans that you guys lived through. And, you know, they have their opinions and they have their thoughts, but to hear from a couple of guys that actually lived through them, I'm sure guys are going to find that exciting. Thanks so much for all you guys do for St. Louis Blues fans here at Blues NHL Podcast. One last time, check us out at BluesNHLPodcast.com. Subscribe to the show through there. Do your shopping at Amazon through there. We would greatly appreciate it. Find us on our social media handles, at NHL Show and at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. The big ask from us, go to Facebook, type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page. Then's the big ask. Click invite your friends. It's down to the right. You guys have probably done this with other things. Your friends list will pop up. You get to scroll through. Any of your friends that are Blues fans, if they're borderline Blues fans, invite them. We will help get them all the way over. Appreciate that greatly. That is our really big ask from us, from you. That's how we grow the show. Facebook's a great way. Don't forget Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast as well. And special thanks to everybody at lineupmedia.fm. Especially producer Brian Crock and Andrew Allen. They do all the stuff behind the scenes to put the show out. For Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball, I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.